Number one, and today's guest, we've got the lovely Laura McArthur. Laura's story is quite tragic. Laura lost two of her beautiful daughters 3 years apart. The first loss was Jodie. And obviously, with the circumstances, the press and the police have made fake accusations. With Jodie's first death, so obviously we'll just go straight to it. Talks about that.
Well, Jodie died on August 16th, 2014. It was Saturday morning, and Peter had been at work. Obviously, Taylor had stayed with me the night before, which was Friday. Jodie's best friend's party was that night, the Ian Bidion, and she was the brought to the party. So the police had been called to the party twice because of noise. That was fine. But Jodie kept phoning us and she said she was fine. Everything was all right. That was great. Then at 5 o'clock in the morning, she phoned me. She said, "Mum, I've got a sore stomach. I'm just going back to my dad's house." I said, "Do you want me to come and get you?" She said, "No, no, no. Don't be silly. I'll be fine. I just want to go back to my dad's." I said, "Right, okay." So she left at that. She went home the next morning. I phoned her at 9 and I was like, "Yo." And she was like, "No, no. I had one vodka all night." And I says, "Right, okay." I was like, "So you don't take after your mother then?" "You don't take after your mother." And she's like, "Right." And she said, "I'm just going to go back to sleep for a couple of hours, but will you pick me up for 12 for going shopping?" And I said, "Aye," because the schools were just getting back and she wanted her new bag and that. And I said, "Right, okay, that's fine." And at 12 o'clock, Peter phoned me, screaming down the phone, "Laura, she's blue, she's blue." And I was like, "Who the fuck's blue?" Sorry if you can't swear.
That's so
sweary, and he's like, "Taylor's Jodie's blue, sorry." So that was fine with me, but I got over there, the police were there, and there was a police called Croyston Shearer, and she says to us, "It's an open shop case, basically. She's been, it's drugs." I says, "How do you know? It's, doesn't that have to do with drugs?" I says, "We've got long QT syndrome, which is sudden death syndrome, runs in my family." And she's like, "Me, no, this is a Gorbals hen. But let's believe this, and I'll tell you now, 16 Gorbals party." She's like, "It just doesn't add up to me, adds up to a drugs death." I went, "I'm telling you now," I says, "if you print that, you're pretty dating against that." I says, "I will take it all the way," I says, "to prove my daughter done nothing wrong." That night, before the body was taken away at 9:30, and it was me and a few of my pals were there, and the body was getting taken away, and these two police women were trying to take Peter away into a motor. And they're saying, "Well, we'll take Peter." I said, "No, you won't. He's as thick as two pints of shite. I thought he's our neighbour with us. Oh, we need him to sign forms." I said, "You know, at least I'm Jodie's parent. I'm Jodie's legal guardian. I'll sign the forms." "No, no, no, no. He can do it. I said, "No, I can. I'll do them." So we'll get back to my house, and my pal's Jade and my son in the kitchen. And this woman's come in. So she said, "A wee folder." She pulled the folder out. She says, "He's right, sign there." And I says, "I might read what I'm signing first." She went, "You don't need to read it." And I says, "Listen, it's about my child, I need to read this." And she just says to me, "No." So I just sat and opened, pulled a bit of paper out from underneath her, and it was a press statement stating that Jodie Muir, aged 16, Scotland's youngest exited death, died tonight and then today in the Gorbals. Police are now investigating ecstasy crime at highs. And I says, "I'm not signing that." I says, "That's lies." I says, "You've got nothing with a post-mortem done. There's been nothing done whatsoever." I said, "You're trying to reduce, you're trying to see this." And my pal Jade walked in through the kitchen and says to me, "Laura," she went, "it's already on Police Scotland's website." I went, "What?" I said, "You can't do that." I said, "That's against the law for you to do that." No. It wasn't the answer. It wasn't the hospital released the press statement. I said, "She never go to the hospital." I said, "So how much for a shite are you?" I said, "She was to come in with the morgue." I said, "She wasn't in. She wasn't taken to the hospital."
So Jodie wasn't even took to the hospital. The police have said to you straight away,
aye,
it was a drug overdose.
Yes, aye.
So there was no remorse, no compassion,
nothing. Nothing. No, I'm not interested. Then the next day, me, my sister, my brother and my lawyer went down to London Police Station and demanded that we speak to one of the police. And they packed me at the station. They helped me get at the station and before they jail me. And my daughter didn't even be dead 12 hours. So I'm like, I said to them, "No, I'm not leaving anywhere." So my sister got into somebody involved, and we got Jodie's name removed for it. But that wasn't until the next morning. It was in every newspaper, every publication, every STV, Radio Clyde, everywhere. I mean, one of my lawyer's partners were in London, and they phoned me and says to me, "Tell me this isn't true." And I was like, "Well," she says, "it's like went UK wide now. It's not just even just Scotland that this is released in. It's UK wide saying that Jodie was Scotland's youngest exited to death." So I promised I'd take it all away. Went to my lawyer, started fighting against them. They've just harassed me, they've jailed me, they've abused me, they've stopped me driving, they've told me I've no driving licence, they've told me I've had no insurance fucking 20 times, they've told me that they've falsely put me in the cells for 5 and 6 hours saying I've got warrants against me, and then they packed me back out the cells because they say there's no warrant.
Why do you think they're doing that? After the first time, obviously, when you heard that's heartbreaking enough for going through, never mind reading it in the papers that people think your daughter's died by an overdose.
Exactly. Because they've done this because nobody else has ever took them on this far, James. Nobody's pursued them this far. And it's the big can of worms I'm opening up by taking on the Scottish Police Service is a big, big thing. The complaints department have already been lodged with them several times now. So there's been, and every time they harass me, another complaint gets raised against them. So and they told me this when I first started it. Says, "Are you prepared for what's going to happen to you?" And
who
I said
that?
The police. Says, "Are you prepared to do this?"
So they're making threats, are they?
Aye, are you prepared to do this? And I said, "I am prepared to do this." And we guys say to me, "Well, just remember this when whatever happens." And I was like, "No bother." And I've spoke to several members of the police, like that are kind of decent, and they can't say it in so many words. Oh, I definitely. But what they've said to me is, it does happen. It does happen in this establishment, and it does happen throughout the ranks. Like they'll always pick ones who I'll know that will go by the higher officers' guidelines and do what they want them to do. So that's it.
So why do you think they're doing it to you?
Because they've wrongly accused Jodie of taking drugs, and it was proved that she never. Do you know what I mean?
Have you ever had an apology?
No, this is the thing. They say to me they apologise to me, right? But they never publicly apologise. You still go on Google. You still put in Jodie's name on the internet. It still comes up Scotland's Young Girl Gazette's death. I've asked for them as public apology, and they'll keep saying no, they're not giving me one because they have a within their rights to say that my daughter took drugs. So where were they in the rights? Because before a post-mortem, right? Before anything, when the post-mortem results came back, there was nothing, not one alcohol, one drug in Jodie's system, not even a paracetamol, right? Not even a hint of paracetamol. Not even a trace of one. There was 1 point something units of alcohol, which was one vodka. That was it.
But she admitted.
Yes, aye. They already said to me that they were going to do a further post mortem again to find out if there was any legal highs, any some mad word, right? Drugs in her system, and then they'll send away slivers of their brain and that to a mad lab in London, so that they wouldn't have to admit that they were in the ring, and it's just continual. It's just constant.
Just because they don't want to admit they're in the ring, they just keep making up shit, keep jailing you, to try and make you as if you're in the ring. How's that affected your mindset?
I fucked it, don't have my head. It's like, I'm like myself, do you think you're doing the right thing? I mean, it's just not even me. Do you feel as if your pals are getting it, your family's getting it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know for a fact when it affects everybody. It doesn't just affect me.
It does, if you're in the right, man, which you clearly are.
Oh, I'm not getting up. There's nothing will stop me getting up, man. Nothing. I think anybody that knows me, including yourself, knows that I'm about
a
fighting
wee
personality. A wee fighting personality. And I'll never get up for my daughter because she didn't fuck all wrong. She didn't deserve anything to be accused of that in the first place. Never mind but what the police have done to it. They tarnished her right to the ground. And as they realised that this guy, it's called Christian Shearer's words were, and I'll never forget the look in his face when he said to me, "God, Bulls 16 party. That's drugs."
What?
I was like, "You vindictive, horrible shit." Do you know what I mean? That's just pure nasty.
For a wee lassie that's passed away at 16, through a heart condition, they're coming in and saying it's been drugs and ecstasy. No remorse, no compassion.
Even a post-mortem done yet. No nothing, but there was no evidence.
So why make the false accusations straight away?
I don't know. This is the thing.
On his high horse?
He thinks he's a big fucking drug toughie, isn't it? So he's just went, "Oh, she took drugs and that's it." See, in the area, he discriminated in my eyes, he discriminated in an area, right, like the Gorbals. He obviously seemed to think that the Gorbals had deprived the area. Fair enough, if it is, that's not to do with me. But
doesn't it give you the right to...
Doesn't it discriminate against anybody?
A 16-year-old lassie who's passed away and not just drag her name through the mud as if she's done something wrong, but it's also going to... Like I say, fuck with you, fuck with your family.
Oh, it's affected everybody because I went into the shop in the corner for me the next morning, right? And again, I was picking up the papers, and the guy behind him was like me, "Oh, look, drug girl. And I smashed his wee head right after he shoulders. Yeah. I was like, "No, drug girl, that's my daughter." I was like, that's it. And then like, when I was out, as I said, every time the police were coming to my house, the investigation was going on, I was arguing with them, and they're like, "Maybe we can do, we'll arrest you. We'll arrest you." And I'm like, "Go for it." I'm sure the press would love use to do it. Then we got Paul O'Hare for the Daily Record. He phoned me and he says to me, "Laura, listen, we never, because the police then blamed the press for releasing the statement." And I said, "So how would they know all these details about Jodie then? Where would they get them from?" Right, so Paul O'Hare said to me, "Can I come and see you?" And I said, "Aye," he came and seen me. And he sat down and explained to me, he's like, "Listen, this is the press statement we were given by the police." He's like, "There, I'll give you my copy." I said, "So that proves to you." And it shows you, it was at 11:39 that they released that statement to the press. But they said to me that they never released any statement, but it's issued for Strathclyde Police. So that's an alibi against them, do you know what I mean? So they can take the fact that they've made a mistake. And then their press department sent me, no, we just had to release this statement, but we never said your daughter took drugs. The press have made this up themselves. So I was sitting with Paul when he was talking away to this police person and saying to them, "Listen, I'll go on her side. I'll take her side. And so that you've released this statement to us, we can't release the information unless we have the advice or the right details." So then the next day, there was met by post-mortem done at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were met to pick me and Peter up. The police said they would pick me and Peter up for the post-mortem, and they never turned up for us. We had to make an inquiry at the postmortem. They never turned up.
Did you have to go and view the body?
Aye.
How long after the death was that?
It was 9 o'clock next morning. Right, but what they'd say to us was they would send officers to pick me and Peter up so that we'd ensure us to get there on time and everything else. They never sent them. Peter had to get my brother Alan, and I had to get one of my pals Kim to come get me so that we got early on time.
When did they put it in the paper? So Jodie died.
Jodie was found dead at 1:25 on the Saturday afternoon night. And in the papers for 11 o'clock on a Saturday night was this release that Jodie took drugs and died.
So before a post-mortem,
yes.
Before anything was released?
Before it in.
But you know, people who read the papers believe it as well.
I know, did it, because see the abuse we took, see the trolls, see the threats, see the vindictiveness, the horribleness. People sending Taylor messages, and Taylor's passed away now as well now. But my wee girl Taylor was getting messages after some fucking loony saying to her, my name's Jodie Muir, I'm not dead, I'm still your sister, I'm just in a kettle hole. No point. Jodie, the wee saying at times, saying no point crying, but may as well smile. And this wee guy and Muttle sent in there, no point crying, but I've split, just choked in my own vomit and died. And you're sending her message saying, Taylor, I'm still alive, it's not me, haha, kid on, I'm dead not.
What age was Taylor last
year? Taylor was, she was 11 years of age.
Fuck's sake, man.
So, that was really, like, can I say, it affected
and this
Taylor.
Is trolls?
Aye.
Just talking shit because of what the papers
aye.
Have said,
mm-hmm.
The police have
court.
Said.
It was took to court, and then they wouldn't let the wee guy who was charged with it, right? The wee guy was charged with it. The police let him away, and the police fucking went up against him, so did I. And then I said to the police, no, that guy doesn't need to put in a jail. No, but he needs help. Mm-hmm. He needs to put in some sort of a place that can get somebody to talk to about his head. I said, because somebody can do any type of things, then it's definitely going to, they're going to affect somebody else's life in the future. They don't need locked up in some sort of environment, well, a jail or that.
And this was straight after Jodie was
yes,
banned.
Aye. Taylor was getting up fucking every angle, man. People were like, your sister took drugs, your sister done this, your sister done that. The police came and kept coming to my house and jailing me all the time. They're jailing me in front of Taylor. Taylor got dragged out to the police stations with me. It was fucking horrendous, man. Police sent her and been to me in the cells and that, and Taylor was sitting outside. My sister coming. They were like, your ma's got to Cottonville. Your ma's got to Cottonville the night and that. And Taylor was breaking her heart, screaming and greeting.
She's not got anybody else. She's
no,
got
aye, exactly. So then...
fuck's sake, man. You've been through them all. How have you been close to... going after eels and
aye, a couple of times I've fucking thought we'd just talk myself, just getting out and done with it, which me and just fucking going away in my veins. But I just think, well, I've got their charity, the Trillium to Taylor and Jodie Muir Memorial Trust, which is so far we've screened like about 800 per kids. We've done no bad, we've saved a good few lives. We're getting there, but I've got the 25th of May this month, we've got another charity event with Joe Deaton, George Bowie, Xander Nation, Chloe Boyd. We've got different people appearing at it that night, so we're hoping it'll be another success. But
it
we're trying.
Will be, but straight after Jodie's death, obviously all the shit you've went through for mm-hmm. the last 2-3 years, then obviously Taylor passed, your other daughter.
Aye, she passed the other so I'll be Taylor's anniversary on the 29th of this month, sorry. So I've got 3 weeks to that, do you know what I mean? And then it's like...
Was there any in the papers or police saying about that?
Oh no, but it was in papers, it was the plastered in every paper, but the police never came near at all. The police never came near. The only thing they did say was when Taylor died, instead of having a run about police station, to put it to Mary Hill. But it was police for Mary Hill because of the discrepancies with Jodie's death, they would deal with an outside office.
And there was not one fucking apology for
still
anybody
no.
to say sorry for that. Because
no.
It's clear that there is a heart condition.
Aye, definitely.
To not just lose mm-hmm. one daughter, but two.
And my wee nephew's died of the same thing as well. You know, my nephew died when he was 8. The exact same thing.
And the police never looked into that?
No, they didn't give a shit. They weren't interested. Even after being explaining to them time and time and time again, they weren't caring. They had it in their head that it was a drugs death and that was it.
And what age was Taylor?
Taylor was 14. She was just turned 15 now. And she was in Peter's again, poor Peter.
Must be fucked.
Fuck aye. Man, he's depressed at school. She'd been out. Taylor's first time, Taylor's all out at 11 o'clock at night. And she'd been back to Peter's and she was on the phone to me. And she's like, I've had a brilliant night, mum, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, right, no bother, that's fine. She went, I'm going, me and dad's going to watch a movie. And I'm going to sleep. And I said, right, she's like, you're coming over to take me to town tomorrow. I says, aye, no bother, I'll get you in the morning. Peter phoned me 20 minutes later. I just actually walked to the toilet and seen my phone lighting up and I just thought, no, this cannot be happening.
Did you have a feeling?
I just thought, no. And I didn't have my motor and I ran my run out my neighbour's house at Kirstian, and Kirstian took me out to Peter's and the ambulances and out there. And but she was just, she was away right away. She was the exact same colour as Jodie was, James. She was blue. And I'll give up the ambulance staff, they were fucking amazing. The paramedics were tremendous. I mean, they shocked her about 90 times in a row, and they were getting her injections every which way, but nothing could bring her back, nothing. And they just rushed her to the blue light at the hospital. And then let's sit here for rules and we want to say to him. She's like, I cannot believe two kids in the same thing. But it was a doctor who should have been the cardiologist consultant. She was in charge of Taylor and she should have been seeing Taylor. Not once did she see Taylor for Jodie died. She was away during an arrangement holiday and her appointment for Taylor, which was now a case which I can't say too much about on here. I was like, when's the prosecutor fiscal? But that's still a cardiologist and prosecutor fiscal. We're waiting for a supplementary report coming back to find out if there's going to be further repercussions about this woman, because I believe she's been negligent in the care of my daughters, both them. Because when Jodie died, when me and Taylor went to see her, she says, in hindsight, we should have medicated Jodie now. Now we know that this was in the family, we should have medicated Jodie. And with Taylor, she wasn't interested in Taylor's care at all.
Why did they not listen yet at the start then? Could it have been prevented?
Very much so, could have been prevented. Long QT syndrome is only a kind of like recent thing that's coming up, right? When it first came out, my nephew died. So that was, 18 years ago when my nephew died. And there was only two different strains of it, right? Two different forms of this, like long QT. And now there's over 29, right? Different strains, and it's evolving every single day. There's over 600,000 people, right, that are walking about in the UK wide with an undiagnosed heart condition that can just pop at any time and they'll just die. Between the ages, their heart doesn't fully form until they're 14 and it stops at 34. So we see between the ages of them, and then see for any female, the highest risk is between 14 and 21 because they hit puberty and there's too much pressure on their hearts. So this is a little thing. And like males is between 18 and 22 because of their puberty, so there's sex drives and things like that. It hots up. And they get,
I bet my heart must be strong.
I'm mad at myself. James, how are you still here? Is James still here? But not. So I'm a member of the British Heart Foundation, and even they've said that they knew there's going to be some sort of pandemic soon because the amount of people that are floating about with undiagnosed heart conditions. I went to a meeting with that... what's her name? Nicola Sturgeon. I was with her and I asked her full out, gave her all the details and all the facts that I had, right? All the numbers, the names, everything, the statistics. They gave her everything. And she says to me, the death rate isn't high enough for us to have a national screening programme. But yet, no offence, but they'll give a Madeleine McCann's mandala of £1 million to find somebody, what we lassie, that they've probably done something to themselves. I'll probably get done for slander by that, but hey.
Listen, you're here to tell the truth, man. And so for, you've lost two daughters 3 years apart, but that's not good enough for anybody to do screenings.
Mm-hmm, no. They say that there isn't a high enough rate death rate. She said to me that, I mean, we have our own, we've got our own scientists, and our own scientists say that the death rate isn't high enough for us to promote our national screening programme, for us to fund it. I said, it costs £65 per person to give you an ECG, right, which will detect whether you have got a long QT or a low QT. A low QT is the level between the beats of the hearts, right? That's how many, when your heart kicks in, beats like that. So there used to be, it was called inherited long QT, which was a genetic disorder. That's what I've got, right? But now they have now established, right, that there is a thing called non-inherited long QT. You don't have to have the genetic mutation, but you still have the abnormal heart rate, right? And that's can conduct to having major panic attacks, major anxiety attacks, and fatal death. So, but there's no
high
enough.
Could Jodie and Taylor have been saved if they had that screening?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
If the government still know what a day £65 screens.
So not even see that Taylor. See if Taylor had been put in. Taylor died 2 years ago and was brought back to life right when she was 7. But see if they'd have given my daughter an ICD unit, right? It's an intercardiac defibrillator, right? That could have saved her life. And that's the one they're willing to do it. Just the same as they're not willing to be interested in any getting any defibrillators out, because it's a high risk. No, it's not high, it's a high cost. It costs like a couple of grand, about 10 grand.
There's no higher risk but than losing your vein.
Oh, no, there's no, but the government don't see that, they're not interested. So they would give 10 grand like defibrillators or whatever to everybody else, but they're not well. So how are they going to cope? But yeah, they would rather give somebody lassie's manda £11 million to find a bill, shouldn't be three things probably moving here anymore.
So you've spoken to Nicola Sturgeon?
I have been in the as well.
Blatantly says that's the...
Aye, but bottom line is there's
not enough deaths.
Aye, not enough deaths.
So you lose two veins, but it's not big enough to...
Yes. Their death toll's not high enough, so what's that? I say to one death high enough, never mind fucking... Like, there's 21 deaths a month for UK-wide, right? And then but that's still not enough for them. And there's more and more deaths occurring than now because the long QT is evolving, right? And there's more strains coming out. People's lifestyles are getting worse, right? And people's
stress,
anxiety, their diets, their poverty, things like this, genetic mutations, things are popping up like dysfunctional heart fucking what do you call them? Valves, things that will just everyday life is getting to people, and the heart's a big massive thing that nobody knows anything about.
And everybody that dies with this is under 16?
Yes.
Or 22?
Under 34.
So it's all Wayne's that's dying
yes,
with this?
Yes, aye.
You must have a lot of hate and anger then now.
Oh, God, you don't know the birth of it. I could start my World War in my head. But I just keep fighting for their charity, and hopefully that this year I'll be able to buy the rest of the equipment and have an East End cardiac screening program. That's my aim for this year, is to get all the equipment, buy it, put it into one of the schools, then instead of paying Cry, who's Cardiac Risk and Young, £16,000 a year to screen about 200 kids, then we can screen 1,500 kids a year free of charge. So that when every school can come to this other school, there's equipment's going to be in. I've got the backing of cardiologists for seven different hospitals throughout Scotland who'll say they'll come once a month and they'll take the screenings on and they'll do the screens as long as the equipment's there. They will help them. I've got nurse staff who want to help out. I've got people who'll come and do like teas, coffees, things like that. It's already in the plans. All I just need is to just get the rest of the funding in place, and then that's us. We're away.
How do we get people to back you?
Listening
to our story, man, I think you need the backing that you deserve, because you've no gave up, man. It's easy to go fucking tonto
as I say, I've never asked anybody for nothing, and I don't expect people to give things for nothing. We did bucket collections at Celtic Park, Rangers Park, to be trying for Tesco's and things like that. This month we've got the charity night, and there's Fulham Sweep, that's in a £20 a ticket, 5 DJs, 2 different acts, loads of raffles, things like that. Come and get involved in that, it only costs £20.
Where do people get tickets?
I've messaged me on Facebook.
Laura McArthur, I think people should be backing it, because not only going to be a great night, but you're saving lives.
Exactly, but that's why I'm to see if you've got to look at your own wounds, take a look at your own wounds before they go to sleep at night, and then see them all and take a look at them again and think to yourself, thank fuck yous are here, because every day when I go to walk by my two wounds' rooms, they'll know there. And see if I could have had something to look that I can do the new and help people, advise them, and say to them, just get this screening in place, then that's the only thing that's going to help your wounds.
You don't know until it happens.
Yes, exactly.
But when did you know that Jodie had the heart?
Jodie was diagnosed we were all genetically tested, James, 18 years ago, when my nephew Craig died. Right, at the age of 7, he dropped down dead, so we were all genetically tested then. And what they said was Jodie was borderline, her ECG was borderline, so they wouldn't medicate her, but they medicated Taylor straight away. And then that's when the hospital says to me after Jodie died. And now in hindsight, we realised we should have medicated Jodie. So because she had a borderline ECG, they never gave her the medication to save money. So it's all about money.
So you've lost your two daughters because people are trying to save money.
Aye.
And then you've got the fucking police. People, anybody watching this, man, people need to be fucking ashamed, especially the trolls, especially people who've made up lies, man. Exactly. For what you've went through, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If it was me, I don't think I'd be sitting there.
Well, James, I sometimes think to myself, why are you still here? Do you know what I mean? Why? But all my thing is, I promised my daughter I would get a public apology for what the police said, and that keeps me going every fucking day, minute, every day. Well, I keep thinking this, as I say, promise Jodie, I will get you that public apology, because she'd done nothing wrong, James, and she didn't deserve it.
And you've
it.
Still never had one?
No, and I'm still fighting for it.
Fae the press, yes. Or fae the police?
No, but fae the press, I'll give the press a due. I'll give Paul a herald due for the Daily Record. He published a story, a great story. He's backed me up, and him and the Daily Record have backed me up since that happened. They've been great, but there's been other numerous papers that have said different things that you've never heard back from. Do you know what I mean? Because they said that their legal right was for the police. The police released the statement, so it's with them.
And this is 4 years?
It'll be 4 years in August. We're still fighting.
Are you taking them to court?
Yes, I am. Every time we get there, we get put back.
Are you suing them as well?
No, I don't want to sue them. It's not about money, James. It's not.
Tommy Sheridan, because they'd done a lot of stories about him, about orgies and this and that, and it was all shite, and it's come out now that it was all fake, it was all false. They'd been blackmailing people or something, or bugging phone calls information for him, and it dragged his name through the mud.
Well, that's just going to shit that I'm against. I don't want any money. I don't need their money. I'm not interested in it. I work hard myself.
But especially the papers and that, Laura, but if they're writing any stories, you can go right through the juggler for this.
All spot. I want the day is for somebody to start getting us help with the screening, because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to just save. If I can't save my two daughters' lives, they're away. Do you know what I mean? But I can save. I can certainly fight and go on and save other people's lives. And that's all that I want to do.
And you want an apology?
Aye, I'll get that apology. It's the last thing I do.
When's your court case?
I'm not allowed to discuss that with anyone. Not? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I can't.
That's fine.
I'm not allowed to. I'll get myself into trouble if I do that. So, I am.
Again.
I know.
Again.
Like, yay, Laura's in jail again.
Many times have you had the jail since?
29 or something like 29 times. I've been put
You're joking.
No, but 29 times. Oh, man. And it's not that. Like, they'll release me the next, like, 4 hours later. Things like that. Mad, crazy shit.
Do you think they'll try to break you?
Oh, aye. Even my older sister says to the police, she's, me and my sister have a love-hate relationship to the end, right? And I love her and she probably hates me. She's like, and she says to them, if you're trying to break her down, she's like, listen, I've been your sister for a fucking X amount of years. She's like, that'll never get up to her anything. She says, never, in a million years. She's like, so she's saying, especially where her wounds are concerned, she's like, she can ram her bricks, motors, buses. She's like, but every time they win, she says she'll keep fighting. And that's it.
No, you want is an apology.
That's what I want.
For wrong accusations, but it's clearly false anyway.
I want him to say, just say, I'm sorry for saying about your daughter. And then see, I can go to Google and get all that stuff removed off of Google with Jodie's name. That's not allowed to ask. It's not what to ask for everything they've done. Say.
Especially your baby, do you know what I mean? For somebody to Google and people do believe what they read.
Oh, definitely. I mean, see the amount of bad publicity there was on Facebook, the amount of people, and me, my friends, my family, had to argue with and had to defend Jodie. And then when it came out, and the papers and everything else, when it came out, I actually showed them the post-mortem results, stating that nothing was in their system, nothing ate at all. And when the papers got in contact with Paul's, the police press department says, we cannot issue a statement at this time, as this is still an ongoing investigation. How the fuck can it still be an ongoing investigation when the post-mortem results are there in front of him saying, Jodie done nothing wrong?
And is it this guy from the very start you want to apologise for?
Aye, that's what I say. It's Croyston Shearer.
What's his name?
Croyston Shearer.
Where's he work?
I've not got a clue where he works now, but he was out of the Gorbals, so he drove. But
how can, for making the accusations, for saying that you straight away, how did they not get suspended? How did they not get their balls kicked for that?
I don't actually know.
Do you know what I mean? Through their management or whatever?
Okay, do you know what? I can't even tell you that, man. As much as I'm dying to know, I've asked these questions as well. How they get the rights to go about stating the false accusations? Slander. Because that's what it is. Slander at its highest. And nothing happens to them. Because they're the pollers. Because you think other people believe in them, right? They're a law, right? So everybody thinks they're up in a hierarchy. You, what they do is protect them to protect and serve. Who the fuck can protect and serve them? Because they never protected my daughter. And they never served her. All they done was put her down. So the only thing was the broker. They made a 16-year-old wee girl look like some sort of scumbag, and that's what they done, and that's it. So they never protected, never served, never done anything good about her, never said anything decent, and yet all they've done is try and categorically ruin my life. Although my real life isn't ruined because my daughter's dying, I'll never get my life back. But it'll take more than fucking name to break me. I'll tell you that now. That's one thing I can promise you.
Well done, man.
It'll take more than name to break me, but I will. No matter if it's 10 years, 15 years, 16 years, I'll get this apology for Jodie. It was the last thing I do.
I think you will, and I think you deserve it.
So, Jack,
it will never give you closure, but Jack, you can give you enough to move on. Because what you're doing now is focusing all your energy into trying to save other lives.
Aye.
And then all your other charity works. Because when I had Pamela on as well, and I know your pals with Pamela.
Aye, I'm off, aye.
It's easy to give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to...
I walk by Jodie and Taylor's rooms every morning night, and I just feel empty inside. I go to my bed at night thinking about them. I wake up every day thinking about them. And I just think to myself, you know, there's only a certain amount you can take. Your brain's only one thing. I mean, it's only one wee organ here. And it's ready to snap sometimes. But then I just think to myself, if I give up, who's going to help? Who's going to do this? Who's going to help people?
Who's going to clear the name?
Aye. So it's got to be me.
Are you getting any medication or anything?
I was there for a while, but I've gone to my psychiatrist to like smell it up. We've got in well with me and a psychiatrist.
Has it been working?
Aye, no, it just helps a bit. Just behaviour and like therapy and that, and depression and shit like that. And just go to talk to them like that and
exactly.
Go to get through it.
I went to a psychiatrist last week for the first time.
Aye, that's
it. Do you know what I mean? And we've been nowhere near what you've been through. It's just.
I've told them, one day I'm fine, and the next day I'm just, I can go down the set and like, you can do like a ton of bricks. And then the next week. Aye. I'll try not to because I don't like that. I mean, I'm not into that kind of stuff, but I don't like that. But no, I try and channel my energy into positive things. Like, obviously, we do every Christmas day, I deal with the homeless stuff, and I hide the halls and like, feed a bit of the homeless there. So that's 5 years I've been doing that for every Christmas day. I mean, I'm joking until I've done it me the last two Christmases before they died. They were like, maybe having our dinner out, and I was like, again, mm-hmm. We're helping them doing mm-hmm. this. But it's beneficial because it showed them as well that, no, you're no. You don't have everything in life. You've got to work for things. You've got to be there for other people. If you're not there for other people, then who's going to make the world go around a bit better? Nobody.
Exactly.
That's it.
So what's the plans then for the future?
Well, James, my next thing, as I said, is to try and get as much money as I can to get this equipment. Hopefully this charity night on the 25th will go well. Then after that, I've got an outside air concert coming up, which is, I'm just waiting for permission for it. And on the 18th, 19th and 20th of August, I've got a carnival in Jodie and Taylor's name up at Baileyson Park up at the Oval with the help of Alan and Stephanie Newsom. So we've got that going. It's quite a big carnival going down, so that'll be good. So do you want to scream if you want to go faster? Come on down.
For the first time you've said that.
I'm hoping for maybe January onwards, then we'll have enough money to get all the equipment that I need, and then we can get a rain screening programme. Then for there, we'll just have to see what the future holds.
How do we create a much awareness to get these screenings in place.
Because the awareness is, I just have everybody's got to just be behind it, share it, involve it, talk about it, right? Come to the different nights, like obviously I do information days at Tesco's, Asda's, things like that. Go into the RIP Jodie and Sailor Moon website and see that. Look through it, look through the details. Because it's a silent killer. There isn't any signs or symptoms. It's not as if you go, oh, I have a sore heart. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. If sudden death is setting in, there's nothing anybody can do. Like, that's it, you're away. But if you have got an ICD, if you need medication, well before this, if you can get onto the medication, get an ICD unit fitted, there is prevention out there. Do you know what I mean? There is prevention, but you have to get the ECGs to make sure that nobody's got this first.
So you don't know you've got it? It was Jodie and Taylor, could they run about and do everything normal?
They've done everything. Taylor was on medication every day. Taylor was on beta blockers every single day for her heart. Right, that was fine. She took Nadolol. But she was to get an ICD unit fitted, but that, as I said, they never got around to fitting it for her. They've cancelled it 3 times. If she'd have been fitted, she would have still been here. Do you know what I mean? So,
how did she not get it fitted?
Well, the doctors were, I was made doing something. She was too busy.
Too busy?
She was made doing something else and crazy shit. That's enough.
It just seems as if you've...
I've been shat on food.
Fucking eyes. Constant, man.
That is. And it's... People think I'm having up when I say to them, this is what happened. They look at me as if they say, okay, I can't be normal. Aye, this is normal. This is what happened. I didn't just get up one day and think to myself, right, I'll just make all this crazy shit up in my head. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I'm just waiting for my mum 2 weeks to pop out the couch or something like that. Mm-hmm. Aye, mummy.
Do you still think it's a dream?
All the time, man. Just... You just continue to think to yourself that you're going to hear the voice that like they're left sitting in the house. I'm like, positive hair tailor. Doing that mad way. I was at a night out one night and I was sitting and I turned around and I thought there was a way that the lassie stone at the bar was my daughter. And I'm like, oh, I need to get out of here. I was like, can I cope with this?
Are you still in the same house?
Aye, I'm still in the same house, James. That's their house. I've spoke several times about getting up, but I can't. It's got too many memories of them in it. I know they'll always be weighing everything else, but that's their house and that's where they were. Well, that's the last places I've seen them.
Left everything in the room.
Everything's the same for them. I'm getting Taylor's room done up for the way the news. Before she died, she wanted this padded wall, right, that I've got in the living room. So that's my new thing. I'm getting that done for her. So that's I know it sounds a bit mental.
Whatever.
Keeps you happy. It pacifies me.
Keeps you sane.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
So, but that's really. I'm hoping this year's going to be the year that we can get this a screening program right up and running. Get all the equipment, get it into the school, get the cardiologists in, get all the mains started getting tested. Because tell you this, it's going to. If you don't, there's going to be more and more and more.
How much does it cost to cover the full UK in schools?
God, James, I don't know.
Millions.
But listen,
they waste fucking millions on nuclear bombs and wars and all the bullshit.
£65 per person. You think, I mean, most people spend £65 a week on milk and curries.
Would you think it's going to take it for the to realise, right, this is a problem?
Because you know, seen to one of the government, right, or one of the higher ranking police officers, seen to it happens to one of their fucking families, then that's when it would have been a realisation for them.
And how many
then,
people die about a year?
There's 21 people a month, James, so what that minute? 25 people.
But it's not that much then. It's not that much to get screenings get.
But they're just saying it's because they're not wanting to admit that this is going to turn into they've been told about this and they're not interested in it. They're not wanting to admit the thought that these things are going on because they think, oh, well, your scientists have said the death rate isn't high enough, so we'll not do this, right? We need the money now to go and sack 40 Tesco workers, right? You know I mean, so something like that, do you know what I mean? Or we need the money now to go and fucking put vaccinations into veins that are hurting them with autism and things like that.
That's not enough deaths. All the deaths are under 16.
I know. Every one of them is under, well, most of them under 16. It's just... Then and it's seeing you go to the cardiologist, they'll give you the ECG, right? And most of them go, looks normal to me. Well, see, would you want to do my favour? When were you the last time you went in to see something about long QT? When was the last time you were on awareness for it? When was the last time you were on a course to raise your knowledge of this? And most of them say, no, when we weren't there. So how's your knowledge of long QT? How do you know the ins and outs of it? And they go, I'm not too familiar with it. So if you're not too familiar, how can you look at that ECG and tell me that my QT is normal? Or somebody else's QT is normal? When you don't have the specific training for knowing about long QT, because long QT is that new into the world, maybe not that new, but it's that new into this kind of era that it's evolving every single day. So all cardiologists don't know what they're talking about, or they don't know what to do, and they don't know what they're looking for specifically.
Is the heartbeat the same?
No, heartbeat's slow. They're slower. You can get a long QT, means the interval between the beats of your heart is longer. Right? So see, your heart goes like that, right? Mine goes.
Oh, so yours are slower as well?
Mine's go slow. And then it's whether it kicks in or not. There's two things that back in heart called electrodes, right? Then the ion channels. It's like, it's a taser gun, right? Say that's a taser gun. And it's happy at night, and there's to be two ion channel hang thing, you'll like, you go, ah, be electrodes. See when the heart starts beating like that, right? And these two things decide to stop. It takes 23 seconds for the to stop, for the blood flow to stop to your, to go to your brain. That's actually clinically dead. So, if you had an ICD unit in, it would click in, and they would, the ion channels would smoke, mm-hmm. boom again. So that's part plug and motor. Once it goes, that's it.
And that's it, there's no getting it back.
Yeah. So, but if somebody's fitted, somebody's been looked at to say that you've got a less long QT, you should be, it's not anything the British government and the British Heart Foundation as well, they're stating, everybody that has been associated with long QT syndrome or has any type of heart abnormality should be, in fact, fitted with an ICD unit right now and on their own medication, because it will give you...
How do they put it in? Did they go to operate on the heart?
Ah, it's just an annual operation to get it in. You can get one that just goes under your skin as well, right? Just like goes under your skin, but usually the other one's like a pacemaker. You can get a pacemaker and get an ICD. ICD are like for younger people, pacemakers for like older people.
Have you got anything like that?
No, I'm on medication, but I take medication every day.
But if you go past a certain age, you're... No, it's prone to have it.
So they say, the past age of 34, then you're sort of the same. Basically, if you go by 34, you're happy. You're not going to die. But run. But there's this, as I say again, statistics of that are just, it doesn't prove it, does it?
No, yeah. I just think what you've been through is, it sounds like torture.
It's mental torture every day.
Mentally. And I'm just glad you came on a day to tell your story and show people, man, what you're going through, not just through the police, not just through the press, but even trolls.
Nah, everywhere. My main concern is seeing the amount of people you try and talk to, right, and you try and say to them, right, well, how would you feel if this happened to your friends? All I'm asking for is for, I'm not asking for you to come and buy me it and a day and at all. I said, I'm asking you to help me try and save other friends. Other friends that fucking control, maybe your grandma, your fucking your niece, your nephew, your brother, your sister. To try and help them. But nobody seems interested unless it's going to happen to them. Then they'll say, "Oh, aye, right, we'll come, we'll help you, we'll do this, that, and the next thing."
How's your support been for family, friends?
Aye, they're brilliant, or superb. I mean, you can't fault any of my family, friends, or like with my pals. I mean, they're always asking, "Do they need help?" They're always doing, make sure you're all right, things like that. But you need outside people. What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and get people to start sponsoring things, like writing to big businesses and asking them to help sponsor. Like, say, help sponsor events so that can go towards it as well. Do you know what I mean? So. Because they're not costing nothing these days. You've always got to pay for something.
How's Peter's head?
Peter's fried. Peter, I feel so sorry for Peter. He's just lost his way. Do you know what I mean? Completely. I don't blame him.
That's he's just tragic
lost
to
his
see
way.
Your two daughters like that,
isn't it? I mean, he's had to give up his work and all that because he just can't cope with life anymore. Do you know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, I mean, and I know it was Peter found the two of them. That's what you've got to think about it. He was there when that happened. One part of me thinks to myself, thank God it wasn't me that found him. I don't know if I could have been me. I don't think I would have been here. I'd have been jumping to the Clyde,
I won't even think about that. But what you're doing, and you're going strong, man. You need to keep it. You need to keep that fit doing. You're never going to get. I've known you for a long time, and you're a strong wee fucker, and you're nuts. But with myself, know what I mean? But that's how we got on so well. I just think for what you've been through. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and you're not going to give up anyway until you get that, what you set out to get, because for anybody to make the accusations and even throw you, man, are fucking scumbags.
Exactly.
If the proof's there, and if there was
the proof's
in
the pudding,
and you put your hands up and say, there's nothing you can do, you're clearly fighting, and you're going to keep fighting. And for anybody to get involved in your charities and get tickets, how do we get involved?
Phone me on 07480-523-733. Go into my Facebook, Laura MacArthur, or go into the RIP Jodie and Taylor Muir website, Facebook as well. Contact me through any of them. Contact me through my Instagram. Come to my house, my sign counting.
Chop our door.
Come here, make you something to eat.
But listen, I really appreciate you coming on here, Dale.
I appreciate you coming on. Thanks, James. I know. Thanks, cheers, man.
Thank you.
Thanks.